Thank you. I feel better now that we have heard from Debbie, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. We've had quite a week. Been busy. It's the power of God. We had a miracle last Sunday. Our church service ended differently than any we've had. And everyone praying for Sister Watson. I wanted to make just one more comment about a song, because we had such trouble at the funeral home with the songs, because of whatever they were doing wasn't working. The apparatuses, the recordings weren't coming through. And I remember and I thought, when you need a song, when you want a song and it doesn't happen, it's really frustrating. But the family, Wadey's family, told me time after time, he didn't care for music that much. He'd say, turn off that noise. Why do we have to have that noise going on? And that just reminded me so much of, yeah, that sounds about right. And so in a way, it went his way. So the noise was there, but it sure didn't, it wasn't what we expected. I want to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23, and then to Genesis 3, 8, and 9, and I want to speak to you today about Jesus walking with us, and he walks with me, like the song in the garden. I heard the Jimmy Swaggart singers today singing No God Like Jehovah, and I really like that song. I mean, it's not one that I could sing, but they just keep saying that, No God Like Jehovah. See, there's only God. Only God. There's no other God. We appreciate our Lord. In Matthew 1 and 23, it says, Behold. You're going to be hearing this again in a month or two, around Christmas time, but here we go now. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I want us to understand he's with us. He's with us. We're not alone. We're not trailblazing. Jesus has gone on before us, and he's there with us. Every step that we take, he's there to help us. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Looking into that, it said, when the breeze came up. I like that time of the day, when the breeze comes up. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, Where are you? Let's pray. Precious Savior, we honor your name today. We pray, Lord, that you'll minister to our hearts and to our lives. We're thankful that you're here. We're thankful that you are with us, within us. You lead us from within our hearts, within our minds. We want you to take total control over everything that we are. Lord, we honor you because of your presence, because of your power, and because, Lord, that you love us so much. We thank you and give you praise. Amen. We're glad to have Arnold with us this morning. We met him in the parking lot a while ago, and it's good to see every one of you. Sister Watson said something to me the other day in the hospital. We were probably talking about Virginia and what she was experiencing having lost her husband. And Sister Watson said, I know what that's like, and it's not easy. She said, but God was always with me. And I already had planned to speak on this this subject, and I thought, wow, that's a good indication that we're kind of on the right path, that God is with us. And Debbie's message to us today kind of speaks that too. We get beside ourselves. You know, how in the world is this all going to come together? How's life going to happen? Boy, we see people that don't do right, and you get frustrated with them. You can't imagine someone pulling up to a church, turning the water off, and cutting this backflow device off. And, you know, but they did. Now, that's aggravating, and it was impacting to us. It would have impacted that day or that Saturday, and it would have impacted us on Sunday. We'd have to have it fixed some way or another. But the fact is that we are going in our life to go through different situations. If God's presence was only good when we were rejoicing and having a great time and everything was going well, it wouldn't be all that. It wouldn't be as fulfilling as it is, because in reality, He's with us through everything. There's not a low point, there's not a high point, and there's not an in-between point that God is not with us. Adam and Eve had the blessing of walking with God in the cool of the day. Can you imagine what they talked about with the Creator of heaven and earth? They were in the beauty of the Garden of Eden. There was no death, there was no sickness. They had everything they wanted. And yet God said, here's a tree. I want you to stay away from it. Don't eat it. They were tempted. And when God said, where are you, Adam? He said, we're hiding because we're naked. God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree? God knew that if that was the question, if they were hiding, they had disobeyed. And, okay, so you have eternal life, and you have fellowship with God, and you give it up because the devil brings temptation and says, you could eat of that. God knows that you're just going to become as he is and have all knowledge. They listened to the devil and they lost that fellowship. In the book of Matthew, there's a promise given that you're going to have a son, call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So what was Jesus coming along for? To restore that walk with God in the cool of the day, in the beginning of the day. Dryden wrote a song, and it says, when dawn melts the darkness and the sun begins to rise, I think that's similar to when the sun fills the sky, what's the next word, you know? That's just how sure that he loves you and me. And we have darkness every night. It gets dark. If I were voting, I'd say, forget about darkness. Let's just stay with the light. Sleep in a dark room, and then whenever you get up, it's light. You don't have to wait on the sun. That's just me. A lot of people like a longer night. So you can have what you want, but heaven's going to be all about light. There's never going to be any darkness. We're not going to need the rest, and it's all going to be glorious. But what Jesus come to bring is fellowship with God, to where we can walk, we can talk, we can fellowship as much as we want, and he'll be there in every part of our life. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, and I'm not going to take time to read the context, but this is what I want to pull out of Matthew 28 and verse 20. Second part of the verse says, and lo, I am with you always. Always. Even to the end of the age. Jesus came and promised that he would be with us all the time. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, I'll read a little bit more of that. Verse 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I'm reading that last part just to let you know that it doesn't matter what comes and what goes, no matter how wrong men are to you, no matter how bad the situation is, it doesn't matter. The fact is that God is going to be with you. I guess about the worst thing that could happen to us is we could die. But as we die in Christ, we live eternally. So this life may be gone, but we start a new beginning and we live forever. Because he said, I'm not going to leave you. Death is not going to separate you and I. Life is not going to separate you and I. Trouble is not going to separate you and I. Nobody is going to stand in our way. The devil himself will not separate you and I. As long as we will hold on to his hand, he will be with us. So I'm going to recall two stories. Are you in the mood for a couple of stories? The first one is on the road to Emmaus. Did you know that Emmaus is about 7 miles from Jerusalem? Now, when I was a young man, I used to run 10 miles a day for cross country. Not so much for track. We probably only did 3 or 4 miles a day. But today, I look at 7 miles and I think, I'll jump in the car and go because I can be there in a while. If I had to walk 7 miles, it may take me 2 or 3 days. I don't know. But on the road to Emmaus, Emmaus was a place that they had health, pools, spas, hot mineral springs, and people would go there. And we know that Cleopas was one of the men walking. And the other one, some have said it's Luke, because he had an office there set up in those mineral springs. We don't know that, but Cleopas was an uncle to Jesus through his mother or through Joseph. We're not sure exactly how. But he and another servant, possibly Luke, possibly someone else, were walking this long way, to me, long way, and they were talking about what's going on, the news. The daily news. You ever listen to the news? I used to, but I stopped because it's so depressing and you don't know what's true. We have people today presenting news that's not true. That's amazing. But anyway, these guys were talking about their life, what was going on. And Jesus, they killed Jesus. And Jesus himself come in, and their eyes, it says, was blinded that they didn't realize who he was. And so Jesus said, what's going on? What's happening? And they said, where have you been? Under a rock or something? Don't you know that they crucified Jesus? The elders have had him murdered. And some of the ladies have said that he's risen, that his body's not in the tomb. And he said, We don't know what's going on. They were confused. And Jesus began, he said, O foolish ones, slow to heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, I tried to warn you guys about what was going to happen. That I was going to, or Jesus, because they still didn't know who he was. That Jesus was going to come and die. And be risen the third day, the great resurrection. And so he began to tell them about all that would happen from the scriptural point of view. I'm going to pick up reading in verse 28. This is Luke 24, last book of Luke. Luke 24 and 28. And then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. In other words, Jesus was acting like, well, I'll see you guys later. And but they constrained him, saying, wait a minute, it's too late. You got to stay with us because we don't want you out there in the darkness. Abide with us, for it is toward the evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. and their eyes were opened. Can you imagine this great revelation? What? You are him. And he vanished from their sight. Can you imagine that? The recognition of who he was coming to you, and then he's gone. They had 1,000 questions after that, no doubt. And listen what they said. They said to Jesus, "It's getting late, you might as well come and stay." And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scripture to us?" And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. It was just as long going back as it was coming out, right? But they went back to Jerusalem. They found the 11, those who were with them gathered together, saying, listen to their message. "The Lord indeed has risen." When you see something with your eyes, you tend to more believe. "The Lord indeed has risen and has appeared to Simon," and they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. I think it's so amazing how that the breaking of the bread opened their eyes and they realized. And you know what? This gave them a message. Just like Peter said, "We've not followed cunningly devised fables, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Amen? We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I want us to understand that God shows us things for a purpose and that he will build upon every experience that we have and every prayer answered. I believe in praying about everything. It doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is, because it means something to everybody who is seeking help from God. You say, "Well, this person is a heathen." It doesn't matter. Pray for them if they have a need and they come to you. Because if God can answer that need, he can touch their heart and get them to stop being a heathen and being born again. Amen? We want everybody to be born again. I want to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and we're going to read, we're going to read a few verses, probably start at verse 24. So in this book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says that God established Nebuchadnezzar so he could do the work of taking Jerusalem and taking captives, and that they would be captives for 70 years, and then they would be released and go back and build up their place again. So just because God had allowed Nebuchadnezzar to do these things doesn't mean that God was happy with everything Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar had this brilliant idea of building a statue in his image. The statue was about 90 feet tall. I was going to measure how far it is from here to the top just to give you a little bit of perspective. I would say about 20 feet. That's just my guess, but I built a few things and I think about 20 feet. I've got a tape in the car. We'll measure it later and see how close I come. About 20 feet. This statue was 90 feet tall. You know how tall the Statue of Liberty is from the feet to the head? 111 feet. So look at the proportion of what this guy made. It's big. And it was gold. Was it solid gold or just gold plated? I don't know, but either way, it's a lot of gold. Either way. It's about 10 foot wide. Excuse me. The head of the Statue of Liberty is 10 feet wide. So this was kind of built like an Oscar. You know that award they give for acting? Kind of like that tall, but not so much as wide. The Oscar is a good thing to compare. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted everybody, when they heard the music, now, not just a little music, a lot of music, Then he wanted everybody to bow before that statue and worship. Well, he had the Jewish young men that were really, really smart, and how he had them giving counsel and guidance. But there were three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they did not bow to the statue. And they got ratted out. They were told on. There's always someone to tell on you, huh? When I was a kid and I did wrong, I had kids setting me up. You ought to do this, you ought to do that. As soon as I did it, they'd run and tell. Well, what kind of person would do something like that? Where is the camaraderie of kids? We ought to get along and stick together, but no. They just wanted to get me in trouble. How many's ever been in trouble that way? Just me. But anyway, someone told Nebuchadnezzar, and he was mad. He was mad. He said, "What? They've got to do what I say and bow to me and to my gods." And but these guys said, "It doesn't matter whether God delivers us or not. Throw us into the fiery furnace. It's fine. We still will not bow to your gods nor to you, because we know the living God that we serve, and we are not going to bow." So he said, "Well, get that furnace 7 times hotter," and they bound them and they threw them into the fiery furnace. The people that threw them in were consumed by the fire. Verse 24 is where we're going to pick up, and it says, "And Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, 'Did not we cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire?' And they answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.'" When you got a king like Nebuchadnezzar, you never want to say, "You're mistaken, you're wrong." You don't want to go there. These guys were delighted. "Yes, yes, yes, we see 4 too. You're right on there." "Absolutely, there are 4. They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the..." You know, those bonds, ropes, whatever they threw in were burned away. But it said, "I see 4 walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." And pretty much what he's saying is, the 4th one is like God, because who else could survive all of this? Now Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to go on and we're going to read the next few verses. "Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning furnace, fiery furnace, and spoke, saying, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God.'" Look at the realization. Look at the revelation to this heathen king. "Come out. Come on out and come here." "Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, the administrators, the governors and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected." The bonds were burnt off, but not their garments. "The smell of fire was not on them." What happened in there? God was with them, to where they survived what the guys throwing them into the fire couldn't survive, because God was with them. And it doesn't matter. We know a little bit later in this book, Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. And the fellow that threw him in was worried all night. "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do?" He said, I didn't mean to do this. I didn't mean for this to happen. I was trapped into doing this and keeping my word. And now Daniel is going to be eaten by lions." And the next morning, he called and Daniel said, yeah, I'm okay. Why was Daniel okay in the lion's den? because God was with him. You know what? It's such a blessing to know that Jesus died so that we could fellowship with God, and God could be not only with us, within us. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trust in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they would not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces." This doesn't sound like too much fun, does it? "Shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." And then the last verse there says that the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was a king over the whole known realm at that time. He had great power and great authority. And he said, "I've never seen anything like this." It really makes a difference when God is with us. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 8, Scripture says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." It also says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And one of my favorite verses, we read this almost in every funeral that we do because it's comforting. Psalms 23, verses 4 and 6. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We've gone through things, and there's no doubt many of us have gone through the very shadow of death, come very close, and the Lord intercedes. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Aren't you glad he's with you? You know, we come to church, and I appreciate everyone's fellowship. We'd like to see many more added to our fellowship. We would like to see other souls come in and enjoy the fellowship that we enjoy with each other and with God. But we don't have to come to church to fellowship with God. We can fellowship with him wherever we are. Wherever we are, no matter the situation, we can fellowship with God. Last week there was a message in tongues and an interpretation. Donnie got it off of one of our cameras. And I'm going to read it to you again. A lot of times we think, well, okay, that was good for this Sunday. But God promises and he keeps his word. And it said, "My children, I speak to you that though your heads have been bowed low, though you have experienced things that have been so hard and so harsh, I'd like you to lift up your heads today. Look unto me. I want you to feel victory. I want you to rejoice. And I want you to honor my name. I am going to bring you relief. I'm going to bring you victory. I'm going to bring blessings into your life. This step is all yours. Lift up your head." How many knows it's up to us? Years ago, I painted a little apartment, and I was in this position for a long time, and it got a pinched nerve out of the deal. That is not a fun thing. So lifting up our heads sometimes may hurt, but the benefit of it is so worthwhile. Lift up your head. Your redemption draws near. Lift up your head. I know it's been a hard walk. I know it's been a struggle. But lift up your head, because there's victory close by. Jesus, your God, your Savior, will bring you deliverance right now. I'm going to close with a scripture out of John 14. Debbie, you want to come to the piano? We're going to read verses 19 through 23. In the New King James Version, and the word says, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more." When Katie was a baby, she was about 2 or 3 years old. She's still my baby, and she's 22, I think. We were at Shasta, and she wanted to listen to music. Not everybody was asleep, but she and I. And I said, "Katie, we don't want to listen to that. We have to wait just a little while." And she said, "Just a little while?" I said, "Yeah, just a little while." And as we were waiting, she got tired of waiting, and she turned it on anyway. And I said, "I guess the little while's over." But Jesus said, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And at that day, you will know that I am my Father, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Can you imagine that? Manifested. The Lord manifesting within us. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me," how many loves Jesus today? You love Jesus. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." He will keep my word. It's up to us to will in our lives to keep his word. "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." He dwells within us. And Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, "He's with you, but he shall be within you." What I want us to know today is he's right here. Within you, with you, within you. He's inside, but he's right over here too. He's here. He's over here. Jesus is in front. Jesus is behind. And he's on both sides. And he's within us. Who would want to get out of his presence? Who would want to get away from him? We love him. We want him to be right within us. Thank God he's with us. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for your people. What a great promise we have today. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You'll be with us always. 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 Lord, we know that there are things ahead that are going to be rough, and I just pray your presence would be doubled in everyone's life when we hit the bumps and the obstacles. Lord, but our comfort will come because you're there. And Lord, at those times that we are just so jubilant and so glad, so thankful for your blessings of life, and for your many blessings in life, Lord, we need your presence there as well. And we want to be aware of it's all you. It's all your grace. It's all your mercy. And we're blessed to know you. We're blessed to belong to you. You're our God and we're your people. And it's going to be that way forever. Thank you, Lord, for this church, this people, the blessing that we have of this building and of this facility. the blessing of this property and the blessing of your hand upon us. We don't want to get outside your will. We want to stay perfectly under your hand. Lead us and guide us. Bless our people. Bless the ones that are here and the ones that are not. Bring blessing and strength and restoration. Lord, I understand that we go through things. I understand that we get older, we face different challenges, but I pray for restoration, both in our physical strength, and I pray, Lord, that you will bring healing to those who are sick. Miraculous healing, divine healing. And I pray, Lord, that you'll draw souls that are unsaved, our family, our friends, even strangers that don't know you, Lord. Bring them to a place where we can witness your grace and mercy and they can be saved. And you add daily to the church such as should be saved. Lord, touch our family. We want to see all of our children, grandchildren, all of the cousins, all of the nephews, nieces, all saved, knowing you and on their way with us to heaven. We wouldn't take nothing for the journey. We, Lord, want that journey to continue on, and one day we'll open our eyes in heaven and rejoice that the race has been run. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Strengthen your people. Does anyone have a need that you want to be prayed for? We have anointing salve. We have oil too, but it rolled under. I got to find it. Anyone want a touch prayer from the whole church? This church knows how to pray. God hears us. And I would like us just to have some prayer time. Heard someone say the other day, we have an altar. We have an altar. We have an altar. You may not be able to use the altar. Maybe you aren't able to get down there like we used to. We used to fill the altar and all the platform kneeling. But we can pray. In our heart, we can kneel. If you want to kneel at your seat, if you want to kneel at the altar, let's spend some time talking to the Lord. Amen. Holy God, holy God. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Mercy, oh God, mercy, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, we bring you honor, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Shall I send a lady to you, Thank you. thank you for everyone gathered here in your name. Bring blessing upon your people. Go before us. Watch after us. Be within us, Lord. Let us know that you're there every step that we take. We honor you. We're grateful for each one. We pray, Jesus, your strength and your power. Amen. I had a saying I was going to, it's a something that I found on the internet a while back on Facebook, and I didn't write it down. So tonight at Bible study, I will have it. Brother Dixon posted this. He may have posted it the first time. He's one of our former pastors, but it's amazing about what grace, mercy, and blessings are. So that we'll get that together for tonight. Luke 10, God bless you. Have a great day.